We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky, coming to you from Northfield, Minnesota, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, coming to you from beautiful St. Louis, Missouri, where I serve as pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church.
So, Matt, I've talked about this before. Lynn and I, we do a lot of walking, and I've noticed that people seem to be frightened of us, and I know that the sight of two septuagenarians holding hands, walking out, because you think, well, what am I going to do? They're controlling the whole sidewalk, you know.
That could be. You're not going to move.
Well, that's what I said. I guess that's what people, because they will actually step
get
off.
Out of the way.
Out of the way. Or somebody will even cross the street. The other thing I've noticed is that sometimes they don't want to make eye contact with us either. Oh. You know, they kind of look away. We'll say hi, and that they'll either mumble or not respond at all. Although it's hard to say anymore because people have this stuff. Have you seen it? I don't know what this thing is. If people have ear problems, but we see them with things sticking out of their ears. So I'm not sure whether they can hear us or not.
Yeah.
And we also work because they're talking to themselves.
Yeah.
And,
you know.
Yeah.
That's what gets me because, yeah, I assume people are talking to me and I even respond sometimes. and then I notice, no, they're got something stuck in their ears. They're talking to someone on their phone.
they're not talking to you. I found out what the problem was. There is an urban myth. I did not know this, but I found it on the Google. There's an urban myth that if you're encountered by septuagenarians, and you look at them, or you respond to them, they will make you stand there for a half hour and watch pictures of their grandchildren. That's the urban myth. So now I understand why people are just stepping aside, going on the other, ignoring us. And Matt, that is an urban myth. Lynn and I have never made anybody stand and look at the pictures of our grandchildren for more than 15 minutes. We've never gone to a half hour, okay? Well, maybe when there was a graduation or confirmation, because then it's not just the kids, you got to show the family and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But okay. I just wanted to share with people. Don't be, you know, 15 minutes at the most, we'll ask you to look at our grandkids' pictures. Tops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So unless, of course, it's around the holiday, then you just got to take your chances. So Matt.
Well, my other question was, this whole avoidance thing, does Lynn run into this when she's walking by herself, or is this just when you're with her job?
That's a point. No. And now that you
mentioned
it, I'd
be curious to know.
Imagine it, sometimes it's when I'm by myself too, I still get that reaction, but not when Lynn's by herself. So maybe there's more to it.
Just asking. Okay. Just asking.
Yeah. Well, that's something for me to contemplate, Matt. All right, what did you want to talk about today?
Well,
Luke? Did you tell me we're going to do Luke again?
Yeah, John, we're doing Luke. We're doing Luke. So we're in the third gospel here, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 14. And our listeners, if you're at a congregation and you're going to worship and they're following what we call the three-year lectionary, you're probably hearing a lot from Luke this year. And it's some good stuff. So we want to look at Luke chapter 14, and we want to look at one episode where Jesus is at a party. He's at a gathering at someone's house. So, John, you heard a number of sermons on this text, I guess.
You were
sharing with me off the air that you and Lynn were just going to hop from sermon to sermon to sermon, which is, you know, that's one of the blessings of technology is you can hear multiple preachers. And you were able to hear a number of different perspectives on the same text, all faithful, all good stuff, right? But just different emphasis on this text that spans Well, let's see here. It spans 14 verses, I guess.
So what we were doing, Matt, is I'd had to go back home to the St. Louis area to have another medical test done.
Yeah.
And we were coming back up to our house, and it was on a Sunday, so we couldn't go to church. And so we wanted to hear some religious something. We had thought about listening to Wrestling with the Basics, but I was afraid I would fall asleep while I was driving. So we hadn't done that. But yes, we did. We listened to four different sermons, all on the same text. But as you said, each one found a different teaching. And you know, that's what I realized. Everybody is preaching to a different congregation. And yes, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit actually designs those words to fit the needs of that particular group of people. And we saw that demonstrated. So what was it particularly that you found a focus there as you looked at Luke 14?
Yeah, I my focus was toward the end of the account, when okay. Jesus speaks specifically to the host. I think it's kind of interesting here. Well, first of all, John, I think this kind of ties in. One, you know, I think different pastors are, like you point out, preaching to different people, and that shapes the message. So that's why, you know, I would have a very difficult time preaching someone else's sermon, because it's not written for Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri in 2025. But my sermons are. And I think similarly here, well, one other note about that. That's why it's important to come to church and not just listen online to some other church, but to go to your own church, right? Because your pastor knows you, and he knows your family and your context, and the message is meant for you. Nothing wrong with listening to sermons online and you know, being edified by that. But boy, don't do that to the neglect of going to your own church. But a plug for that.
Yeah, let me even take that. You made the statement that you would have real difficulty preaching somebody else's sermon.
Yeah.
I have difficulty preaching my own sermons.
There might be another issue.
Yeah, wait a second. That didn't come out the way I meant it. Here's the point I was going to make. When I was in seminary, I wrote an Easter sermon, and it was a darn good Easter sermon. In fact, it's probably one of the best Easter sermons that I've ever written. And so I was fresh in my new parish, and I thought, well, that was a really good Easter sermon. I'm going to use that. I'm going to preach that. And you know what? It didn't work at all, because I had not written that sermon for that group of people.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to, I need to have whatever the Holy Spirit wants to speak to people here and now. A good thing to have your own church. Yeah. Yes. To find your own pastor, so that message will be specifically for you. And we would like to think that here, what we're doing too, God is using specifically for the listeners to Wrestling with the Basics. But go ahead, Matt. I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, no, good point. You even wrote it, but yet it wasn't for those people.
It wasn't
people,
for that congregation.
Right?
Exactly.
It was for some class at the seminary, right? And there's a difference. I don't have any trouble preaching my own sermons, but the people in the pews might have trouble listening to my sermons. I don't know. But that's, again, another issue.
Another story.
Another episode. But I think this ties in, John, because as we look at this text before us today from Luke 14, we see Jesus says different things to different people gathered at the same thing.
Yeah.
So he's going to have a word to say to the guests who are there, all right, at this this important person's house, this ruler of the Pharisees. But he's also going to have a word for the actual host, the ruler of the Pharisees whose house it is. So I think Jesus is kind of following the same line here as a preacher, right? That he, depending on who he's speaking to, he has something different to say just within this one account. So keep an eye out for that as we walk through this.
And that's one of the cool things. Boy, I'm glad you brought that up, Matt. That's one of the cool things about reading the Gospel of Luke, because Luke always tells us who he's talking to. And you're right, it makes a big difference what Jesus has to say depending on who he's talking to.
Yep. Definitely. So yeah, let's jump in. If you don't mind reading verses, let's just do 1-6.
All right. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And by the way, my pastor, Pastor Bittner, pointed out that word watching him is always a negative thing in the Gospel of Luke. Whenever they're watching him, it's not for good. It's for evil, okay? So thank you, Pastor Bittner. Anyway, they were watching him carefully, and behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, so that's who he's talking to, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, which of you, having a son or ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Sean. So they, yeah, I was able to hear another sermon about this too. It was at the seminary. It was at the seminary campus for a field worker supervisor meeting. We're blessed to have seminary students here at Ascension that learn here, and we're blessed by them too. But anyway, I went to that meeting and included the chapel service there at the seminary campus. And Dr. David Schmidt was preaching, and a homiletics professor, and he preached on this text. So I got to hear him too. And I think it was kind of interesting. He started his sermon with that familiar prayer that we pray sometimes at our meals, right? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, right? Let these gifts to us be blessed, you know. And he just pointed out, you know, that can be a dangerous prayer.
Oh, wow! Okay.
Because, you know, come, here's Jesus, the Lord Jesus is the guest of this ruler of the Pharisees, and something happens here that I think was very much unexpected by the Pharisee and his guests. Jesus has a teaching for them and a word of law even for them. So be careful what you pray for, right? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, because as Jesus is our guest, he be ready for, you know, just his word of truth, right? So anyway, that's what takes place here, as Jesus is the guest.
Do you think this was a setup deal with the guy with the dropsy being there? Do you think they kind of brought that guy in just to see what Jesus would do?
Considering the comments from your pastor, Pastor Bittner, yeah, I would be very surprised if it wasn't a setup. Hmm. Okay. Because I think you're right. They were watching him, and like you pointed out, that's a negative context, right? They're watching with suspicion. So you have this. So Jesus, it's a Sabbath day, right? All right. Day of rest. Two, he's at the ruler of the Pharisees' house. This is an important, not just a Pharisee, no, it's a ruler of the Pharisees, right? This is an important person. And he's got his Pharisee friends and other important people there with him. And then they watch Jesus with suspicion on this Saturday, on this Sabbath day, as this man with dropsy is brought in, you know? And it seems as though, I think, John, it's a setup. And think about it. They're using this poor man who has dropsy, this fluid retention, bring him before Jesus just to trap Jesus, just to kind of see what Jesus is going to do about it. I mean, no concern for this poor man, no compassion for him and his affliction. No, they're just using him as bait. And that's pretty despicable, considering these are the Pharisees, the religious leaders that should know better. Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
if anyone should be showing compassion to this man, it should be them.
I'm thinking of that Old Testament passage, though, where it says, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good.
Yeah, there you go. And Jesus then uses it for good, right? The other thing I think is interesting, so it seems like a setup. It's the Sabbath day. This guy is brought before them with dropsy. And then Jesus asks them two questions, right? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And what's their answer?
No answer. Don't answer.
They're silent. They're silent. Yeah. And then Jesus asks another question. You know, who of you wouldn't, you know, if your son, if your donkey, if your ox fell in a well, wouldn't get it on the Sabbath day? And what's their answer to that question?
Don't reply to that one either, Matt. They don't reply either.
Silence. Yeah. Silence.
No answer.
So this is, if you look at Luke's gospel, this is the third time that there's a healing on the Sabbath. And the first two times, the Pharisees kind of grumble about it, right? Completely, you know, and have criticism. And now it's getting to the point where they're just silent. there's nothing they can say, you know, because they just don't have a response, right? So I think that's kind of funny. It seems like they're the ones that set this up, and yet they really have no response to Jesus when he questions them about healing on the Sabbath. So grasping at straws, perhaps, the more as Jesus' ministry progresses. And we see that here among the Pharisees.
And I'm going to ask a question that you probably don't know, because I don't know, but you're smarter than me. So maybe does Luke also have that scene where they come up on Holy Week and they're challenging him about the Baptist? Remember, he challenges them. I'll answer your question if you tell me, was the Baptist from heaven or from not? And you get the same thing, silence. Whatever we do, we're going to get ourselves in trouble here. So, yeah.
And then that response, you know, and Jesus said, well, neither will I tell you, right? Yeah. So we see that again. Jesus just... Jesus just creates that, you know, befuddles them. I think that was in Matthew.
Thank you, just kind of look that up real quick.
But same, I mean, even if it's not in the same gospel, I mean, still the same thing happened, right? It's in Mark 2 anyway, but kind of just looking that up quick, John. But same idea, though. They just remain silent. They don't have an answer for Jesus. And, you know, they're in the presence of the Son of God. Jesus knows what's what. And they think they do. They think they do.
And you know what? It occurs to me, Matt, that the reason they don't reply is because the answer is obvious, that they should say we're wrong. Mm-hmm. What we're doing here is evil. It's wicked. And, of course, that's really hard to come out and publicly say that. But it is, because you guys, you wouldn't even do this. You wouldn't even do this to an ox. You certainly wouldn't do it to your son. And yet somehow you think it's all right to do it to this poor guy that has dropsy.
And I think they try to adjust themselves by thinking, well, but this dropsy guy probably did something wrong, right? Oh, just like the blind man. Oh, he must have done something wrong with his parents, right? Yeah. And well, no. He's afflicted, right? We all suffer the consequences of living in this imperfect world, whatever that looks like. But I think hopefully they're convicted, right? That, oh boy, we don't have any response to this.
Well, they're thinking about it anyway, aren't they?
Yeah. So then Jesus, as we said, has something to say to those who are invited. Okay, so he speaks to those who are invited to this man's party. If you could read verses 7 through 11.
Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jesus dealing with their pride here. You know, here they are, and maybe we don't have this practice as much today, but where you sat at this feast was a determination of your social status, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe we do that to a certain extent. You know, the people we associate with, right? You know, that says something about who we are, right? And, you know, we want to make sure that we're you know, associating with the right people and climbing the social ladder, John, and, you know, whatever that might look like in our maybe it's in our business, maybe it's in our academic career, maybe it's in our friend group, you know, even within the church, it happens, John, right, among pastors. You know, climbing the social ladder, and Jesus calls them on it, right? And you know, the problem with climbing the social ladder is, you know, you're leaving people behind as you climb up. You know, you're not thinking about your neighbor. You're only thinking about yourself. You're certainly not thinking about a man with dropsy. You're climbing the social ladder. So if you're going to...
Don't want to be sitting with him, Matt. No way.
No, why would you want to sit with that guy? He probably did something wrong, right? He deserved it, you know, and no, I want to be close to the rule of the Pharisees. And, you know, this whole, if you're going to be on this ladder, Jesus says, well, climb down. Don't climb up, climb down.
Yeah.
You know, go to the lowest place. And I think as we read this, John, and we know the full story, right, and how this unfolds, we know that's what Jesus does, that he goes to the lowest place. I mean, he's, where's Jesus? You know, he's not even seated. He's nailed to a cross, right? And that's where he ends up. That it doesn't get much lower than that, dying a criminal's death on a cross. And yet that's where Jesus goes for us.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, he deserved to have the highest place of honor, right? And yet he, out of love for us, goes to the lowest place, goes to the cross itself, and he does it for us, for our sake. Yeah.
And then in turn, he is also exalted, isn't he, Matt?
Yeah. I love that. He humbles himself, but yet is exalted and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father and will one day return again in glory. Yeah, exactly. So Jesus, I mean, really, yeah, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of this, that everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. But for those who are connected to Christ, right, the same is true for us. We should live with humility rather than pride. And one day, we will be exalted, not because of us, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And we look forward to that day of Christ's return and resurrection. Yeah. So let's get to then, and this is what I actually preached on, the part where now Jesus speaks to the host himself, this ruler of the Pharisees. So if you could read verses 12 through 14.
Finally, he said also to the man who invited him. So this is the third group he's addressing now. To the man who invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just.
Yeah. So talking about showing love, compassion, hospitality to someone who can't repay us, right? Because, you know, so often, I mean, we just operate in our lives, always kind of in the back of our mind, you know, as I do this for them, how can they repay me?
Yeah.
How, when I look at someone, how can they be of worth to me? How can they be of value to me, right? And we do that constantly in our friendships. What can I get out of those friends? You know, we do that in our work relationship, right? Maybe we work hard on the project, but boy, I want to make sure that my boss is watching so that I can get rewarded for that work. We do it in our marriage, right? You know, what can my spouse do for me? You know, if I cut the lawn, is my wife going to maybe do the dishes, you know? And, you know, just we look at people, you know, what can we get out of them? And we view people almost as a commodity in our lives. And Jesus is calling us to do just the opposite of that. Look at people not, well, you know, what can I get out of them? Or if I do something good for them, you know, they owe me now. You know, Jesus is talking about, no, just simply showing love and hospitality and care for a neighbor, whoever that neighbor is, expecting nothing in return. You know, not out of selfish ambition, but just truly out of love for them, out of love. Yeah. The word hospitality, the word we translate as hospitality in English in the original Greek language of the New Testament, it literally means love of a stranger. Mm. So it's that word philos, and then the other word is like, you know, we get the word xenophobia from it, kind of a fear of the other, but it's that same Greek word. So it's you put those two words together. It's love for the stranger, love for the other, is literally what hospitality means. And that's what Jesus is calling us to is love for the people who can't pay us back, right? The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, they cannot repay you. Which is kind of a tall order, John, and it kind of is a countercultural thing. But until we're reminded, perhaps, that that's what Jesus did for us. You know, as he comes into this world, as he lays down his life on the cross, it's why does he do it? Well, it's not so, oh, now these people owe me, you know. It's not so he can get something from us, because what is Jesus? What do we have that Jesus needs anyway? He's God. He doesn't need anything from us. I mean, it is purely just, you know, out of love for the other, out of love for us, out of love for those who cannot repay him. Oh, there's nothing I can do to repay Jesus for what he's done for me. And yet that's what he's done for us, out of just his goodness and mercy and love.
You know, Matt, and yet that's how we think about it. I'm going to church that Jesus owes me something.
Oh, yeah. It's laughable, right, John?
Yeah, which is laughable because, no. Yeah. He never does anything for us because he owes us something.
No.
always does it because he loves us. That's the only reason he does it.
Exactly. And so that's our motivation then, to love others. We've been first loved by him, no strings attached, not something we owe him, but just simply out of love. And so also for us to have that love of neighbor, right? And I think, you know, then Jesus says, you will be repaid in the resurrection of the just. Whoa, you know. I think of Matthew 25, Jesus' return, right? The sheep and the goats, and you know, and enter into the kingdom, right? He says to those on his right, this reward, this repayment, the resurrection of the just, and yet what do the just say? The sheep on the right, they say, well, when did we do these things for you, Lord? Like, when did we, you know, when did we give you drink or feed you or visit you, right? And Jesus says, well, when you did it for one of the least of these, you did it for me. When you did it for those who couldn't repay, you did it for me. And I just love that response. You know, when did we do these, Lord, right? It's just what we do as Christians, as people who are in Christ. We love our neighbor, not for something in return. And in loving and serving our neighbor, we're loving and serving Jesus by extension, serving him hospitality.
And I think that's why the operative word here is at the resurrection of the just, is the English, but the word there in the Greek is dikaios again. So it is the resurrection of the righteous.
Right.
And as the Bible clearly teaches, the righteous will live by faith. So we weren't doing these things because we figured we had to, because we owe it to Jesus. We weren't doing these things because we thought this was some kind of work we would do, so Jesus owes us. There it is, that whole mentality about I owe you, you owe me. No, we just do it because God loved us, and it seems like it's a good thing to do to love others. And that's what righteousness is. It's that faith about God's love for us.
Yeah. And just to kind of wrap this up, John, the hymn of the day that goes with this gospel reading is the hymn that has a stanza that says, as you, Lord, have lived for others, so may we for others live. And then I love this line. Freely have your gifts been granted, freely may your servants give. You know, Jesus has given us all things freely, everything that we have, our material goods, our forgiveness, our salvation, you know, so may we freely give, expecting nothing in return. Yes. Yeah, may we freely give.
Thank you for listening to Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.